Our first reading is taken from the book of Isaiah in chapter 7 and starting at verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of two kings you dread will be laid to waste. The Lord will bring on you and on your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria."
Our second reading this evening is taken from the Gospel of John. And there we'll read from chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. And there we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth."
Our next reading is taken from Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because of what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and they gave him the name Jesus.
Well, thank you to all those who've read this evening. And this evening really has been all about, really, seeking to connect the age-old good news of the birth of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago that we've heard in those readings and sung of in those carols with the reality of our lives today. And so I want you to imagine that if this Christmas you could get anything in the world as a gift, I wonder what would you want for Christmas? Maybe you'd think in big terms, peace on earth, an end to world hunger, no more disease. Or to be honest, as I ask that question, you're thinking much more materialistically. That's okay if that's where you first went to. You'd love £1 billion. Who wouldn't? You'd love the dream job. You'd love that dream relationship. You'd love that dream pension. Or maybe you would just take that question very literally and immediately. I'd be quite happy with a Toblerone and a new pair of slippers. Nothing wrong with good chocolate and having warm feet. But I guess that if we could really have anything, we would ask for a lot more than that, wouldn't we? We'd ask for something meaningful, something heartfelt, something that will make a difference. I wonder how many of us would ask to have a loved one back again to share another Christmas with. Wouldn't you almost give anything to have, whether it be your mother or father or your husband or wife, back with you again this Christmas? Well, imagine this was God offering you this gift. The God who made this whole world and made you and made me and is behind everything and is keeping it all going. If he really wanted to, he could bring peace to this world. He really could end world hunger and disease. And so picture the scene. You wake up on Christmas morning and you find under the tree this present, and you unwrap this gift from God that the loving Father has given to you, and you start unwrapping it, peeling off the sellotape. And what is this gift that God has given? It's a baby. And this baby lived 2,000 years ago. And so you wonder, well, does God really know what I need? Does God really know what this world needs in all of its brokenness? Yes, friends, he does. And I want you to know that there really is a God who made you and who loves you and who knows you far better than you could ever know yourself. And he knows that what you need most of all is this baby we've sung of and read of this evening, born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And Ellis just read for us those verses in Matthew 1 of how God gave the world a baby and how he is so special and so important. And I wonder, did you pick up those two names of the baby that God has given as his gift to the world? There's one that we might be a bit more familiar with, Jesus. I'm guessing most of us have at least heard of that name before. But there is another name. It's a good bit rarer. We don't hear it that often. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. For us to understand what Christmas is really all about, we need to wrap our heads around what Emmanuel means. God with us. When God gave us this gift, this child who was born, he was giving us himself. And that is completely mind-blowing. But you see, Mary wasn't Joseph's biological son. That's why we heard in the reading Matthew record for us that Joseph had in mind to divorce Mary quietly. He wasn't Joseph's biological son. Rather, he was the son of God. He was Emmanuel, God living in this world, walking our roads, feeling our pains, the joys and the sorrows that you and I know so well. God really did walk on the pages of human history. And this, friends, is the difference between saying that we generally think that there is a God out there and then really experiencing God in our lives. Believe it or not, you and I can sense God's divine power, if we want to, when we stand on the edge of the sea and we look out on the vast expanse and just it goes on and on and on and on. Or maybe we watch from a safe distance the huge breaking waves that we saw Storm Dara causing last weekend. The sheer power of all of that. Or have you ever stopped to just look up at the sky at night? On a clear night and there's no clouds, you're just blown away by the number of stars that you begin to try and count and the huge magnitude of them all and the galaxies in our universe. When we do that, most of us sense that the power that made all that, if there is one, it really must be immense. And that's a general experience and usually a fleeting one of something of who God is. But with the gift of Emmanuel, with the arrival of a baby, we have received something even more precious. And that's because in the birth of this baby in Bethlehem, God identifies with we human beings. God comes to us. That is staggering when you really think about it. Not only did God's son come as a person, he could have come down from heaven as a fully formed king, a lean athlete in peak physical condition. But no, he comes as a baby. Totally vulnerable, completely dependent on others. The hands that made this world and put every star in place back at the beginning now reach out for a mother's clutch. The one who sustains the entire universe needed to be cleaned and changed like every other baby that's ever been born. That is how God came to us, to our world. He gave himself as a baby. And this is such good news for all of us this evening. And why is that, you might ask? Well, it's because Emmanuel means that you and I can have clarity this Christmas. Is there a God? Are there many gods? Is there nothing at all? Well, left to our own devices, your guess would be as good as mine. None of us can know for sure. We'd have to live our lives based purely on a guess. No lab experiment would back up what we have to say one way or another. But then, a baby was born, about whom the angel in our reading said, "What is conceived is from the Holy Spirit." He grew up to prove by what he said and all that he did that he really is God with us. And so that means that you and I, we don't have to guess anymore. The only person who can give us total clarity about the existence and the character of God is God himself. And God proved his existence by his appearance and showed his character on the pages of human history. As the Lord Jesus Christ is born in Bethlehem, he came to our world and he said, "Here I am." If God hadn't done that, if he hadn't revealed himself, then to claim that we can't be clear about him would be a humble thing. But because God has revealed himself to us, to claim that we can't be clear about God, that's an arrogant thing. Emmanuel gives us clarity about the biggest questions of our lives. The fact that in the person of the Lord Jesus, God is with us, it means a few things for us this evening. It means that we know that there is eternity. Friends, there is more to this life than what you and I can see. There is more to this life than this life. I wonder, have you ever really wondered about what, if anything, lies beyond our last breath on this planet? Have you ever thought that there must be something more? Have you ever engaged in something that you thought would maybe make you happy, but after a while the happiness fades? That's true, whatever our tastes or our preferences. On the one hand, take someone like the atheist philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre. He once said, "There comes a time when one asks, even of Shakespeare and Beethoven, is this all there is?" Or if you've got a more modern taste compared to Shakespeare and Beethoven, pop phenomenon Taylor Swift, she said a couple of years ago, "Happiness isn't a constant." And that can all sound quite depressing. But the reality of God with us, of this first Christmas, means that tonight God says to us, "No, there is so much more. You were made for eternity. And eternity is where you can find the satisfaction that eludes you now." And I wonder if you've ever thought of life in those terms, that you were made for eternity. You might have heard of C.S. Lewis. He wrote the Narnia stories, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe being the most well known, I think. And he became a Christian in his 30s, and he wrote that creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exists. A baby feels hunger? Well, there is such a thing as food. A duckling wants to swim? Well, there is such a thing as water. Human beings feel sexual desire? Well, there is such a thing as sex. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. God being with us means we know there is more to life than this world. There is an eternity. And if we want to experience the joy of that, then we need to trust in Emmanuel, God who has come that we might enjoy eternal life. But Emmanuel also means that you and I have dignity. When we ask, "Who are we really? Who are you?" Essentially, I'm asking, are we anything more than the total sum of all the atoms that make us up, which have gathered together for a blink of an eye in the huge impersonal sweep of time, and which will just one day disperse when we die? To be really blunt, are you and I more than a meaningless speck on a slightly bigger rock that is ultimately meaningless, no more or less important than any other speck? Are you and I worth anything other than what we contribute to society, or how useful you and I are to the economy as we buy and sell? The answer to all those questions, you'll be glad to know, is a massive, big, huge yes. Yes, you are more. You are far more than all those things, because there is a Creator God who has visited his world as Emmanuel. You and I each have an intrinsic value, and nothing that anyone can say to us or do to us, or that we can to ourselves, reduces or extinguishes that value. You are precious, however you feel, whatever you do, however useful you think you are. Nobody is a nobody to God. It's a wonderfully comforting thing to realize this Christmas. God coming into this world shows the huge dignity that you and I have. And that links to one last thing that I want to say. That Emmanuel means that we know that we are loved. This is a time of year we enjoy spending with those that we love. But it is also a time we miss those that we've loved, who are no longer with us. Even the best times, they are painfully incomplete. And the happiest events, they're tinged with sadness. Because our grief over those no longer with us, it never disappears. But in the person of Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, we are shown that you and I really are loved by someone who will never fail us or leave us or let us down. It would be like a man who lives here in Gosseinen, using up his salary and all his savings to drive up the M4 and to catch a plane from Heathrow Airport all the way to the other side of the world in Australia, just for one weekend. And by the time he gets there, the flight takes so long, and the time he gets to airport security, he's only got 5 or 6 hours before he needs to check back in for his return flight. And it sounds mad, doesn't it? Why would he do that? Why did he make the trip? What if I told you if the answer to that was he wanted to see his girlfriend who lived in Sydney? And what does all that effort say to that girl on the other side of the world? It says, I love you. I care for you. He could have sent a letter. That would have taken a while. He could have FaceTimed. He could have arranged a Zoom meeting and sent the code. But those things wouldn't have said as much. Instead, he gave of himself. And that said it all. And this Christmas, we might be feeling the effects of a difficult year. 2024 has not gone as you would have liked. You continue to be weighed down by disappointments. Maybe you've lost someone this year. Maybe it's been a few years since you lost that dear family member. But of course, you're still carrying that sorrow. And you don't look forward to Christmas because of news you've had this year, or because it reminds you of Christmases past that seemed happier than what they are now. Oh, friend, no human being can ever say to you they know exactly what you're going through. Some of us have gone through similar experiences of illnesses and losing loved ones, and we can empathize to a degree, but none of us truly ever know what another person is going through. And that is why Christmas is actually such good news, because God's Son gave up far more and traveled much further than our friend who went to Australia. Jesus Christ came from the throne of heaven to a manger in the Middle East. But why did he make that journey? Because he loves us. Because he cares about us. God could have sent a letter, but it would never have accomplished and completed all that the Lord Jesus did. It would never have said as much, which is why he gave of himself, and he says it all. He was born as a baby, God with us. And he lives a life that you and I never could. And he dies innocently in our place on a Roman cross. And he rises again from the dead, proving that death is not the end. And he makes a way into an eternity in heaven for all who will believe in him. What God chose to give us is the most precious gift that he has. And more to the point, the most important gift that you and I need. He has given us clarity that we can know that there is more than this life. That we have real value. And to know that we are loved. God the Father has not given us a thing. He's given us a person. He has given us his son, born as a baby in Bethlehem. And he truly is God with us. And I wonder, as we come towards a close this evening, if you will believe in this God of the first Christmas, will you humbly come and commit yourself to him? Will you trust in him, the one who has shown how much he loves you in giving this world the best that he had? I want to be straight with you. Believing in Jesus doesn't make all the problems in your life go away. Every Christian will tell you of all the difficulties that they've known. But through it all, they've known the wonder of Emmanuel, of God with them. And friends, as we come to another Christmas, as we look ahead to another new year, 2025 is not far away. Wouldn't you rather have someone with you than without you? Than feeling on your own? Because in the person of the Lord Jesus, we have one who has come down to this earth to be with us and promises to be with us always. That's the promise for all of us this evening. God will be with us if we will believe in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we will put our faith in all that he has said and all that he has done, and that we are trusting in his death on a cross and resurrection from the dead, that it really was for you and for me, that we could not right that wrong that exists between us and God, so that we might know the life that we were made for in relationship with him. Surely that's something that's worth thinking about, isn't it? That's something that's worth pondering upon this Christmas. But I know just as well as you do that Christmas is such a busy time, it's quite hard to ponder and to dwell, isn't it? And so we're going to watch a short video now and reflect on this promise of God being with us and whether we want to make that promise our own this evening. We're going to sit and listen to this wonderful version of O Holy Night. Will you believe in the Jesus that this song speaks of as we listen together? Maybe as you've come here this evening, you've heard the good news that Christmas promises you that you'll never again be on your own, and you sense something resonates deeply inside of you. There is something more to life than what you've known up to now. And friend, I want you to know this evening, that if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the man who is God, the one who has come to be with us and has made a way for us to know eternal life in heaven, which we could never achieve left to ourselves, then though your problems, they don't magically disappear, you'll know the reason for which you were made. You'll know eternal life. You'll know the life that you live. It's one of dignity, and that you are truly loved by the God who has made you and loves you so much that he sent his one and only Son into the world to restore you to the life that you were made to live in relationship with God himself, as Jesus dies on the cross to deal with the problem of our separation from God. That's why we need God to be with us. And so I wonder, will you do that tonight, friend? Will you commit yourself to Jesus as we look ahead to Christmas and the year to come? I'm going to pray now. And as we pray, you can pray with me in your heart. You can make these words your own. If what you've heard this evening has spoken to you, then you really can put your trust in Jesus tonight and know him with you always. So let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for sending the Lord Jesus into this world. Thank you that you've shown us how much you loved us in sending your very best to live and to die and to rise for us, so that all we have to do to know the life we were made for is to believe in him, that we might not perish but have eternal life. Please forgive us for living our lives without you. Help us to personally trust in the Lord Jesus this evening, that we might know deep peace and lasting joy, no matter our circumstances, whatever we have faced, whatever we will face, that we can know you with us always. Thank you for the wonderful comfort that we can know you, our God, with us forever through faith in the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.